Good morning. It's a privilege to open and speak from God's Word this morning. And our first reading this morning will be chapter 55 from the book of Isaiah, to all those who thirst for Christ. It says this, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without, and your labour on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." And our sermon reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verse 41 to the end of chapter 2, verse 52. It says this, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why are you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God." This is the word of God.
Thanks, Daz. And good morning, everyone. Again, Paul Cooper's my name. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown, and it's wonderful again to be with you here on this Sunday morning. Let's pray as we begin and take a look at this part of the Gospel of Luke. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these words, for this account of the child Jesus. And we pray this morning, Father, you'd help us to see your truth. And that you would apply it to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the four Gospels, or in the four accounts or biographies of Jesus' life, we don't get much of a glimpse, really, of what Jesus' childhood was like. The Bible doesn't say too much about that at all. But Luke does. We get this little snippet, these verses that Darren's just read for us. We get this little snapshot of Jesus as a child of 12 years old. And we get to see this remarkable wisdom. He has a very clear understanding of his father's will. His father's will for him to have this, or to conduct this mission to the world, is a very clear understanding of that, even at 12 years old. Now, his parents don't yet understand those things fully, but good for us to recognise these things. Good for us to recognise these things, because understanding who Jesus is and his mission actually changes the way we live in his world now. And that's our opportunity really this morning, just to understand more deeply who Jesus is and the mission that he carries to our world. And so this part of Luke, it starts with every parent's worst nightmare really, doesn't it? A lost child. And the parents of Jesus, as we've heard, they've brought him up for the Passover festival in Jerusalem. And you remember the Passover, it's a festival that remembers and celebrates God saved centuries and centuries earlier. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that actually, and we know that salvation is found through Jesus, but that's not clear yet to those around him. And after the festival, Joseph and Mary, they're part of Nazareth, and after travelling about a day, a full day, they realise they don't know where their 12-year-old son is. Now, I won't ask you to put your hands up, but have you ever misplaced a member of your family? Have you ever done that? It's a terrible, terrible feeling to misplace a member of your own family. Like just recently, we were on holidays, my family and I, in Western Australia. We were staying with my sister and her family. They'd just come back from Bali, and their gift to us was gastro that they brought back with them. And so night after night, we took our turn at coming down with this illness. And one night, my nephew, my sister's son, he catches this virus. And so he gets up in the early hours looking for his mum. He couldn't find her in her bed, so he starts looking around the other rooms of the house. And in doing it, he accidentally wakes up Bronwyn, my wife. So she gets up, being helpful, and together they're walking around the house. They're looking for my sister. Now, I'd been in the middle of this illness, and I was sleeping by myself in the lounge room. And at 1:30 in the morning, I wake up to these two leaning over me saying, "Have you seen Natasha?" My first thought was, why would the sick guy who's sitting near his sister is? I said, "No. Have you checked the bedroom? She's not there." I said, "Well, why don't you go and ask your dad? He probably will know where his wife is." Turns out he doesn't know where she is either. 2 a.m. in the morning. It's four of us searching through the house, high and low. We can't find my sister. And we're getting to that point, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the feeling where we're getting concerned. We're starting to get that feeling in our stomach, and it's not gastro. We can't find her. I go out and check the car. The car's there. She's not in it. I check the backyard. Check the sheds. I looked in the pool. No. We start thinking, this is bizarre. We might have to call the police. You get that feeling deep in your gut. Something could be badly wrong. It's horrible. Now, eventually, we did find her asleep. She was in the wardrobe of her room. Apparently, if you have a sleep apnea machine and you don't want to use it, you can snore and disturb your partner. So she thought sleeping in the wardrobe would fix that problem, covered in clothes. Okay, funny now, but at the time, a horrible feeling when you just get to that point of worry and all the possibilities, you know, start running through your mind. I reckon there'd be many people here who've got stories of missing children in department stores and stuff like that. We have. We lost one of our kids in the shops. Terrible feeling. Trying not to tell you who it was. We couldn't find this child. And tells her she's found a lost child. Is it ours? Yes. You really do get to a point where you start to panic. So imagine Mary and Joseph. Put yourself where their mind would be after a period of time that had elapsed for them. It was 3 days before they found Jesus in the temple. Now, we don't know quite the breakup of that. Possibly it's a day of travel, a day to turn around and come back, and then a day of searching all through Jerusalem. But in any case, that's a very long time to lose a child. Like, my sister was about 45 minutes. The unnamed child lost in the shops, maybe 20 minutes. Joseph and Mary, it's 3 days. They must have been frantic. They must have been sick to their stomach with worry. And so you can imagine what it must have been like when finally they catch sight of him in the temple and they walk in and they see him. He's sitting there, happily involved in conversations with the teachers, just amazing them with his insight, his understanding of the scriptures, just looking like he belongs, because he does. Very comfortable with his surroundings. And his mother sees him. And after all the worry and all the stress, maybe she feels a little bit angry. She's upset that he's missed the journey home and he just stayed there. So she says to him in verse, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, I don't know what it was like for you growing up, but for me, if ever the words were used, "your father," you knew there was problems. "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." She sounds hurt, doesn't she? Like, why would you do this to us? We're your parents. It's hurtful that you just separate yourself from us like that. And the reply that Jesus gives is really the point in this text that it all sort of turns on. He says in verse 49, if you look at that with me, in verse 49, he says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" It's like, why are you looking for a whole day all over the city for me? Didn't you realize that this is where I would be? See, when he says that, he's making a very clear statement about who he is and also about what his priority is. He has this amazing clarity, even as a 12-year-old. See, Mary said, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus says, "Don't you know I had to be in my..." He obviously understands who he is, doesn't he? He understands who he is and who his father is. He understands this very close relationship that he has with God the Father. And when he says, "I had to be in my father's house," it's actually a flea, of course. But I had to be here. He's carrying out a mission. He has a priority. And it's one that's been given to him by the Father. And he's doing his Father's will. So here, Jesus, he's not being rude. He's not criticizing his mum when he says what he says. He's just declaring who he is and what he's come to do. He's the bringer of truth. He's here to reveal God's plan, the Father's plan, and to explain it through the scriptures. That's his priority. And that's a task that's been given to him by the Father. And so bearing that in mind, no wonder then that he's found in the temple. That's the meeting place with God. And he's amongst the teachers of the scriptures. He's listening and asking questions. And they're amazed at his insight. It was quite a while ago now. I was running a course, Christianity Explained course, in a cafe. And I got to know the owner of this cafe pretty well because we were using it each week. He wasn't involved with the church. He hadn't come to trust Jesus in his life yet. But one week we got talking about church. And he said, "Well, I'm reading it already." Well, I thought that was amazing. And I said to him, that is fantastic. Where have you started? He said, "Well, obviously from the beginning, that's what you do with a book. So I started at Genesis in the Old Testament." And I said, "Mate, that is fantastic. And I reckon what would be good, what would be even better, is to turn to the Gospel of Mark and have a read of that and then come back to Genesis." And the reason I said that to him was because the whole Old Testament points forward to Jesus, points forward to the way that God would ultimately save through faith in Jesus' life, death and resurrection. And the New Testament is all about Jesus. It's all about his life and his death and his resurrection. So we need to understand Jesus if we're going to understand the scriptures properly. We need to understand Jesus. We need Jesus to understand the Bible and all the truth that it contains about ourselves and our world and our God. And that's why I suggested to that guy, start in the gospel, in one of the gospels, doesn't matter which one, start in one of those, just so you can understand who Jesus is first. And so even at 12 years old, Jesus knows who he is. He knows his mission to the world and tells his parents if they'd realised that, well, they would have looked for him first amongst the teachers who were teaching. But Mary and Joseph don't yet understand. We, of course, have a much fuller understanding of Jesus, don't we, and his mission to us. We know the facts of the rest of Jesus' ministry, and we can clearly see that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan to save. That perspective they would have had, this perspective Mary and Joseph would have had at that time, they would have struggled to realise that. They don't have their heads around it, and as verse 50 tells us, they don't understand quite yet exactly who Jesus is and what his mission would be. And so they leave. And Jesus shows his obedience to God in a different way, honouring his parents with his obedience as he follows them home. And I've mentioned this in previous weeks, but this importance of understanding this identity of Jesus, that he is the Son of God the Father, that he is God the Son. It's very important that that's the case, since his life would be given in our place. And a human debt of sin has to be paid by a human, doesn't it? But the sin of so many can't be paid by one man, but it can be paid by God, is the one who can uniquely atone for our sin. It's important to understand who Jesus is. It's fundamental to the gospel. And likewise, it's important to understand God's purpose through his Son. It's through him that we most fully understand the scriptures. See, who Jesus is fundamental to the gospel, but the scriptures understood through Jesus explain the gospel. They explain the consequences of the gospel. They explain the truths that come from the gospel, and they impact our lives right now. Jesus brings the truth, and it's important for us to understand that. The gospel's not something that has no impact now. It's a wonderful truth, but it's not a truth that only affects us when we die and face judgment and receive forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Actually, it has an impact on our lives today. It's how we make sense of ourselves and the world. And the scriptures through Jesus, they explain that. Now, you've probably seen this picture that's up here behind me. It's quite a well-used one by the Fred Hollows Foundation. This is Fred Hollows. He did a lot of work in this foundation, continues his work curing eye disease all around the world. And this is Fred Hollows himself in 1992. He's examining the eye of a boy called Tran in Vietnam. And Tran had a problem with one of his eyes as a child. He'd injured it. It was getting worse and worse. Couldn't see clearly out of it. And he and his dad had travelled up to this eye clinic to get help. And they told him there's nothing they could do, and possibly leaving Tran's dad's. And so his dad pushed Tran forward, and Fred looked at him, saw the problem, examined his eye, and put him on the list to have it fixed up the next day. His sight was restored. Tran could see again. In fact, he went on to study and became a math teacher, all because he could now see clearly. It's a bit like that with Jesus. So it's through Jesus that we can see the reality of things most clearly. The gospel tells us Jesus was resurrected to life, shows that the Father stands by his creation. He wouldn't resurrect to new life if he thought creation was better off, done away completely. So he validates his creation with the resurrection. He confirms the order that he built into it. And at the centre of God's order, what we see is that through faith in Jesus, what we see is love. His love for us at its peak is demonstrated, isn't it, through the death of Jesus on the cross. So we see that love is intended to be at the centre of God's order of things. It's intended, it's through Jesus that we see that, and we understand it most clearly through the scriptures. And so this episode in the temple with 12-year-old Jesus, it points us towards his 3 years of ministry and how he provides clarity to those who want it. Now, I've mentioned this book before, but there is an excellent book by Vaughan Roberts. It's called God's Big Picture. And it explains how the Bible hangs together and how Jesus fulfills it, how he makes the scriptures clear. A little bit like what he was doing as a 12-year-old in that temple. Now, if you haven't read it, I really do recommend it. And there's a free video course on the website. It's based on the book. It's well worth having a look. If you'd like a copy of the book, if you come and let me know after the service, I'm very happy to do a bulk order. Or if you just want the link to the video course, let me know and I'll send that out to you. It's such an important thing for us to understand this task that was given to Jesus by the Father and this understanding that he provides. Or you might be here this morning and you're not quite sure about Jesus just yet. You may even be here and you have no particular interest. Can I be bold enough to challenge you to just do that short video course? And I say that because I remember the first time I looked at the Bible end to end through Jesus, and that it all hung together as one book, one continuous story of God's plan. It was like this blinding light got turned on and it all made sense. And I reckon once you realize that, I could challenge you to not believe. But that's what Jesus does. And I'm going to lead us in prayer now that he would do that for you and that he would continue to make his scriptures clear to all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this account of the boy Jesus. We marvel at how you intended since the dawn of time to rescue us from ourselves, that you do it by sending the Son to us. Father, we thank you for the way Jesus makes your plan in the Bible clear, that he opens our eyes to the depths of truth in the scriptures. Father, we ask that you would help us to ponder them, to store them up in our own hearts, and to continue to grow in our understanding of you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.